Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Dave Paskin, CEO of 101 Mobility. And 101 Mobility, headquartered in Wilmington, North Carolina, is the nation's first full-service sales, service, and installation provider of a complete line of affordable, high-quality mobility and accessibility products and equipment, including stair lifts, auto lifts, ramps, porch lifts, power wheelchairs, and scooters. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
I'm doing well this week, Marty. How about you?
Good, good. Another week has gone by already. You know, it seems like 5 minutes from our last show. It's I don't know where the time goes, Don, you know, but it's
time
nuts.
Goes quickly,
it's
yeah.
It's a busy week, you know, so... But yeah, everything's going well. Not such a nice day here in Pennsylvania. You know, overcast, and you know, it's not a pool day today. But
yeah, the sun's been out here in New Jersey. You know,
oh, it is
more
okay.
Closer to the shore, and you know, it's been You know, it's been pretty nice the last few weeks as far as really what I consider the, the summer season have started. You know, when is it officially summer? Maybe sometime this month.
I guess it's in a couple of weeks, right? Probably like in another 2 weeks we'll officially be into summer, though, you know. But
it's, the our kids will be out of school, and they're completing their first year of school, and
that's amazing,
pretty exciting.
You know? Yeah. It is. It's just, you know, and when we started the show, I mean, God, they were almost babies, you know. I mean, it was just it's amazing how long we've been doing the show. Your kids have actually grown up on the show, so. You know, and it's funny because we have listeners that have been listening to our show now for almost 4 years. It really is amazing. Our last show, Don, we met with Ryan Zink, who is the president of Complete Nutrition. And a little information on them. They were founded in 2004. Complete Nutrition is an upscale nutritional supplement store that features weight loss and sports nutrition products in a spacious, open, and orderly setting. I thought he did a great job at presenting the franchise opportunity. And it was kind of new category for our interviews, I guess you could say. You know, I'm surprised that it took this long to, you know, get his category into our show. But I'm glad that we had him. Any thoughts on last week?
Well, it's, you know, retail is always tough, but this is, I really like the nutrition industry. Yeah. I guess we talked a little bit about on the show.
Right.
I guess to a certain extent, recession resistant. I mean, people are always going to be buying vitamins and health-related products. I mean, I know I do. I mean, I, you know, as someone in my mid-40s.
Sure, you're not going to stop,
Yeah, I mean, you got to take vitamins. You got to, there's a lot of great stuff you can take to help out. And I guess they saw a better way to have a, you know, retail store in this category. I think one or both of them had worked at a competitor and just saw a better way to lay out the store with better product or more of the more popular products. And, you know, it seems like they're doing pretty well.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I think you said this last week. You know, I've had experiences of going into these type of retail stores, not a Complete Nutrition. We don't have one around here. But my problem has always been that there's too much to choose from, you know, and you just don't know where to begin. And some of those products, you suspect, have probably been sitting there on the shelf for years. You don't know, you know. I mean, it's just, it's overwhelming. So I think what it comes down to is having a friendly staff and someone to be able to assist you, you know, with a product selection. It was interesting because before the show this morning, I went on to Complete Nutrition's website, and I was just looking at, like, testimonials and things like that because I always think that's important. And there's just a couple things here. It says, the staff was very helpful in helping me find what I needed and getting me on the right track to getting healthier. I received excellent advice and help from a store associate. I think his name was James, very helpful and seemed to understand the needs and goals. The store is super clean and organized, which is very important in retail. A lot of these testimonials go back to a common theme about the staff, you know, and how friendly the staff is and how helpful the staff is. So I think that someone who goes into this particular type of franchise opportunity is someone who is passionate about this particular area. And they believe in it, too, you know. I mean, because, again, you're selling the product. You have to be convincing, you know.
Right.
And,
good point.
So, yeah, so I thought he did a good job. And like you said, you know, it's especially when we get to, not that we're old guys now, but, I mean, when you get to that those milestones of the 40s and 50s, right, it's
Right.
You start to lose your energy, don't you, a bit? You know, it's like those days you go to work and you're tired and stuff like that, and you wish you had that kick, you know, and there's certain times of the day that I start to feel tired and stuff like that. So, I mean, these supplements.
Well, you start to hear of certain types of supplements, and that's very good for you, and that you should start taking.
There was one that everyone was mentioning in the testimonials, and I don't know if he mentioned it on the show. A lot of them were talking about Envision. It says, I first started taking Envision a couple of years ago, and it's awesome. I went from 174 pounds to 147 pounds in less than 3 months. The customer service that I receive every time I shop is wonderful. The staff is very knowledgeable. Again, it's such a common theme in looking at these guys.
Right.
But and it was interesting because when he was talking about the franchise opportunity, you know, in their beginning, you know, he said, you know what, in the beginning we made a lot of mistakes. And I thought that was important because that's one of the advantages of buying a franchise is you don't have to make the same mistakes as the founders did in the beginning. And every franchise in the world made mistakes in the beginning, whether it's Subway and McDonald's with, you remember the Hula Burger story? I don't know, I think you told the story. It was about a year ago. It was about Ray Kroc, and he came out with the idea for the Hula Burger, which is like a pineapple hamburger for Good Friday. And it didn't work, you know. It was a mistake, you know. So, I mean, McDonald's learned from that mistake, so they won't do it again. But it's you know, so many advantages to buying a franchise. And so I thought they were a good opportunity. Again, it's not for everyone in the world that wants to buy a franchise. But, again, if you can, if you're passionate about this particular area, I think it could be a good match.
Right, definitely. Yeah.
So again,
we'll
watch their success. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on them. You know, we'll watch as you know they continue to grow. And I always think that's the fun part, Don, is where I like having a newer concept sometimes on the show, is where you get to kind of see their success. You know what I mean? And you watch them grow, and you feel like you're part of it in a certain way. So it's kind of interesting. So So what do we got going on today, Don? I know we have an interesting show today too, don't we?
Yeah, today we're having on Dave Pasgan, CEO of a franchise called 101 Mobility, headquartered down in North Carolina. The nation's first full-service sales, service, and installation provider of complete line of affordable, high-quality mobility and accessibility products and equipment, a real niche type franchise. So we'll find out how this all got started, and I'm sure there's a pretty good story.
Well, you and I are fans of this particular market segment, so you could say. You know, you and I have been talking about senior care for a long time, you know, and I think when a lot of people ask us, you know, and they say, well, what industries should I look towards? You know, I mean, senior care is definitely one you should consider looking at if you look at the numbers.
Right.
This type of franchise seems to make a lot of sense. But again, you know, Dave will tell us all about that, you know, when he comes on segment two.
Yeah, so I'm sure the product is for all ages, but yeah, I'm sure seniors are pretty big percentage of their clientele, yeah.
Sure, absolutely. And I know you had some interesting topics that we had to go over this morning as well.
Yeah, well, we got a couple quick things first. The IFA, International Franchise Association, named their new president and CEO.
Good.
And his name is Stephen Caldera. And because Matthew Shea resigned earlier this year, Caldera served as Executive VP in Global Communications and Chief Public Affairs Officer for Dunkin' Brands up in Massachusetts.
He's coming in at a tough time, too, isn't he, Don? I mean, wouldn't you say?
Right.
I mean, in the world of franchising, I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily want to be in his position
It says here he's responsible for worldwide communications, government affairs, corporate social responsibility, customer relations. And it goes on, Marty, as the franchising industry continues to work through a challenging economic and political climate, the search committee recognized the IFA was going to need a passionate leader who had the strategic and tactical abilities to bridge the critical areas of public policy communications. And so what you're saying is true. These are tough times. They wanted someone with all that background to tackle issues on, you know, multiple levels.
Right, absolutely. You know, you know, and the financing is always, I guess, like the biggest issue right now, isn't it? You know, I mean, just getting financing, particularly for franchises, you know, especially if their success rates are a little higher than a non-franchise type of business.
Or just an advocate out there just promoting small business in general, which is the franchise industry is all about. Small business, period, is not getting enough attention, so you need strong leader with the IFA to make stuff happen, get the word out, and just
we should probably get him on the show too. You know,
right.
I think that would be nice to kind of welcome him, you know, into. And again, he's been involved in franchising for a while, but you know,
that's
just to have
point.
Him on the show, get to kind of know him. So we should book that show. I'd like to have him on maybe sometime towards like August or something like that. I think that'd be great.
Here's something, Marty. Forbes, entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs, closed the gender gap and dream big. A headline in the May 17th issue of the Wall Street Journal grabbed my attention the other week by posing a provocative question. Why are women-owned firms smaller than men-owned ones? And this is an article by Renee Martin. The headline accompanied a guest column written by Sharon Hattery, the former and founding executive director of the Center of Women's Business Research. Hattery noted that according to the latest available data from 2008, the average revenues of majority women-owned businesses were only 27% of the average of majority men-owned businesses. More than 250,000 American women own and lead businesses with annual revenues topping 1 million. There's no disputing that many women possess the attributes required to build a thriving company. So what's behind the disparity? The question brings to mind an observation that Build-A-Bear Workshop founder Maxine Clark once shared with me. She says, not dreaming big enough is one of the biggest mistakes entrepreneurs make. And
wow.
I'm familiar with Build-A-Bear. It's a franchise for kids' parties. Clark,
have you been
became,
to one?
Yes, yeah,
have
we've gone
to
a couple of
parties. You have. I figured you had, you know, with the twins. But and the reason I asked you was, I guess it was several weeks ago when we were at the mall in Lehigh Valley. I know they have one there too, and I saw a party in there, and it looked like the kids were having a blast.
Right.
But that quote that you said, Don, I mean, it was very powerful. I don't know if you remember who said something similar, but Michael Gerber said, it's a great quote, he said, people don't fail because they think too small. People don't fail because they think too big. They fail because they think too small.
Right.
I thought that was a powerful quote. That's kind of what she's saying, you know, is,
right,
you know, think big, you know, and sometimes you and I think we have to kick ourselves too, don't we, you know, and say, you know what, let's think the world, you know. It's kind of why we started the show. We said, why do a local show in franchising? Let's do the show to the whole world. And
right,
it's true. It makes a difference.
Good point, yeah. Not dreaming big enough is one of the biggest mistakes entrepreneurs make. And it talks about the woman Clark's had a lot of success with this Build-A-Bear franchise. But, I mean, it's, you know, it's an interesting article. And here's something. Burlington Free Press. Chain restaurant model works for many Vermont entrepreneurs. In the early 90s, before he was a professional ice hockey defenseman and Olympic medalist, Aaron Miller studied business at the University of Vermont and wrote a business plan for a sports bar. Just recently, him and his wife, I'm not even sure if it's his wife, Miller and Marty Matheson, a close friend since college, who also owns Burlington's Red Square, opened the first Buffalo Wild Wings Grill and Bar in Vermont with 50 TVs, loads of sports memorabilia, piles of spicy wings, a new Buffalo Wild Wings in the former TJ Friday space. It's the kind of sports bar many fans dream of. What it's not, Matheson said, is Marty and Aaron's Bar and Grill. Miller, 38, Matheson, 41, are among the newest franchisees with Minneapolis-based Buffalo Wild Wings. Since it was founded in 82, the company has grown sales to just under $1.5 billion in 2009. Through a 60-40 mix of franchise and company-owned restaurants. Last year, it was the third fastest-growing U.S. chain of those with sales over $200 million. We open a new restaurant almost once a week, said Vicky Zima, Buffalo Wild Wings Regional Marketing Manager for the Northeast. Franchise restaurants certainly are a very important part of our growth strategy and have allowed us to expand our presence across the country more quickly. In both limited service and full service, Spears Technomic notes in its 2010 Top 500 Chain Restaurant Report, corporate units tend to have the advantage in size and profitability. However, divesting the responsibilities and risks of operations to franchisees can provide many advantages to the parent organization. That's always interesting. Companies, do they go more with franchisees or more corporate-owned stores?
Right.
A lot of successful businesses kind of have a mixture of both.
That's true. But, I I've seen statistics. I'm going to have to go back in my archive somewhere, and again, the statistics always change. But I always understand, or I always understood, and again, not in all cases, but that the franchisee typically outperforms the company restaurant. I'm sure there's stats somewhere we could find on that, Don. But I guess the question you have to ask is why? If that's true, why does the franchisee or franchisee's restaurant outperform the company-owned restaurant? And it kind of goes back to the debate of franchisee versus a manager, because you got a manager actually running, let's say, a Buffalo Wild Wings restaurant.
Right.
You know, he's getting paid a salary, he's getting vacation, 401k, where the franchisee, I think he has more at stake, doesn't he? I mean, he owns this thing, you know? So
right.
It's it is interesting. I'm going to have to go back and find some stats on that, but I always thought that was an interesting topic of discussion.
It says, franchising also presents opportunity and limitations to entrepreneurs. Miller and Mathison chose a national brand rather than create their own. Mathison said, because we wanted to go with an established model, we don't want to compete with food. You see how so many people come and go in the restaurant business. With this, you have constant support on new menu items and how the kitchen works, on advertising. The flip side, Mathis acknowledges, with a private business, you make every decision. With this, it could be frustrating because in some places your hands are tied. You have to stick with the menu, look and feel, the architectural design. But I don't want to just do one location. And talks about how it's a huge opportunity. As potential owner-operators, the pair had to do their homework, Mathis said, including demonstrating substantial financial resources and developing a detailed business plan. We had to go to the Minneapolis headquarters to pitch it, and every half hour they send in a new manager to ask questions. It's pretty incredible. I said, see, it's not always, you know, it's always a two-way street. Because you choose a franchise doesn't always mean you're going to automatically become a franchisee. You have to be approved
that's
and accepted,
true.
and it's you know, it's a long-term relationship. So that's a very successful franchise. I guess they want to make sure they're getting the right people in there, and that's why we always ask the question on the show to our guests, what type of characteristics you're looking for in a franchisee. Every franchise probably has a few different things they're looking for.
Right, exactly. It would be interesting to see the characteristics that Buffalo Wild Wings is looking for. Have you ever been in a Buffalo Wild Wings, Don? Or I know
no, but they just built one in one of our local malls. I imagine we'll be going.
Oh, do
shortly.
They really? You're going to have to go there. I've been following them now for, God, since 1999, and I've never been in one, you know, but
right.
I just watched their growth over time, and it really is amazing, you know.
Yeah, we'll be going soon.
I see them advertise a lot too, you know. So, I think they're an interesting franchise. We'll have to have them one day on the show as well, you know. So,
the article goes on, Marty. Sam Handy, general manager of the South Burlington IHOP that just opened in March in 2009, agrees that local owners can gain from working with a national brand. His family owns the Vermont and Plattsburgh region rights for IHOP, a chain that is almost 100% franchised. IHOP is a family-oriented, well-known brand name and great support from the corporation. We really like their model a lot, he says, but I find people are surprised that we're locally owned, and we want people to know. We work with local organizations like the Spelling Bee. We just sponsored locally. We serve Vermont maple syrup. We're looking into local eggs. This is a real local
great,
article.
Isn't it? Wow.
But he goes... buying through IHOP, we get better prices on some ingredients, and so we can keep prices cheaper for the customer. Now, on the other end of the chain model is Orlando-based Darden Restaurants, Marty, full-service industry giant, which owns six brands, including Olive Garden, Longhorn Steakhouse. They also own Red Lobster. They have about 1,800 restaurants or corporate-owned. And this one individual says, I'm not going to say that the franchise model doesn't work well for others, but this works for us. I guess they're a large chain, all corporate-owned. So this is the comparison to having large food company that's mostly franchisee-owned. He says one of the main reasons is the complexity of full-service dining and the complexity of our menus, which are cooked from scratch. It ensures consistency and quality. The buck stops with us, he talks about. It also allows us to be very nimble. For example, with Red Lobster, we recently put wood-fired grills in all the restaurants. If franchisees were involved, we would have to ask, and because of the expense, not everyone would do it. It gives us full control of our brands and the restaurants themselves.
Right. I see.
It's pretty interesting when you have stuff like that.
Right. It's true, and we've referenced a lot of, you know, sometimes, because we cover all aspects of franchising, you know, some of the negative aspects of, you know, the franchisee sometimes being upset, you know, with the franchisor, you know, and not quite agreeing with maybe the new change that's about to take place in the restaurant, you know. So, you know, and again, that's, you know, the pluses and minuses of buying a franchise. One of the things you were talking about, I think, when you were going back to, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings is, you know, the creativity, Don. I mean, you can't go into, if you're a very creative person, you can't reinvent that Buffalo Wild Wings, really, you know? I mean, you have to follow that system. That restaurant has to be designed so it looks like pretty much most of the other Buffalo Wild Wings as well. You can't just, you know, come in and say, well, let's use this color carpeting or wood floor or whatever that may be, you know? So your creativity might be put on hold. You know, you can always suggest it to the franchisor, but they don't necessarily have to agree with it, you know. So it's a great article, and it's definitely some important things that we have to talk about there, you know. So
right.
Why don't we do this, Don? Great topics. I see our guest Dave has called in. So we'll play a couple quick commercials, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team,
Big Mouth,
as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today because we're meeting with Dave Paskin, CEO of 101 Mobility. And 101 Mobility, headquartered in Wilmington, North Carolina, is the nation's first full-service sales, service, and installation provider of a complete line of affordable, high-quality mobility
and accessibility products. Hey, Dave, how you doing today?
Good, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome, Dave. Dave, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Dave.
Thanks for coming on, Dave. We appreciate it. We're excited to hear all about your franchise and when it started. And
sure.
I mean, you have a real niche product line.
Yeah, I think so. We're kind of relatively unique in terms of our mm-hmm. franchising concept. There really aren't other companies offering franchises in this segment. So hopefully we're pioneering some new territory, but based
right.
on, you know, what we see in terms of growth of the overall industry and in particular our target demographic, we expect that there will be, more to follow.
That's
good.
Great. Dave, we also like to ask our guests, where are you calling from this morning?
I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm in my home office there. I actually live in Cleveland, and our corporate office is in Wilmington, North Carolina. But
oh, okay, good.
I actually spend a lot of my time, on the road meeting with customers and
right.
other people and
oh,
so
fantastic.
Forth. So, you know, modern companies these days, I think people can work from almost anywhere, really.
It's true, absolutely. What were you doing, Dave, before joining 101 Mobility?
I spent the last 10 years in the mortgage industry. I worked for a company, a national mortgage company, that was primarily a wholesaler of mortgages. And I started out there as a sales rep in 1997 and kind of worked my way up through the company throughout my tenure there and ended up, before we ended up closing that business down, I was the president and CEO of that company. But we were in the non-conforming mortgage space, and so if you've paid any attention at all to the mortgage industry, you'll know that space no longer exists. So
right,
in 1997,
true.
We ended up closing that business down. I'm sorry, in 2007, we closed that business
okay.
down, and so that's kind of my background.
Okay, interesting.
So how did you get into this industry? How did this all come about, Dave?
Well, my two business partners, Luke Sampson and Keith Barnhart, and Luke and Keith had actually worked with me at the mortgage company. When I had started there in 97, shortly after moving into my first management position in 98 or 99, I think, I had brought on Luke as a sales rep in his area. He was out of North Carolina there. And as I kind of moved up in different management positions through the company, Luke sort of followed in suit and was actually our national sales manager at the time we ended up closing the business down. And he had actually hired my other partner at 101 Mobility, Keith Barnhart, at the mortgage company as well. I think that happened in 2002 or 2003. So the three of us have actually worked together for some time, in this other industry and gotten to know each other pretty well and so on. And so once we ended up exiting the mortgage business, Keith and Luke had actually gone out and started looking for, new opportunities, new business ideas and so forth, and came across the durable medical equipment industry, and in particular focusing on the mobility product end of things, and decided that looked like a promising industry, had started up a company, and were probably, 8 or 9 months into it when I came on board to help them sort of take the concept and grow it on a national basis.
I mean, any background in franchising? Why do you think franchising was the best to grow it nationally?
Well, when I joined them, we hadn't, our franchising was not part of our plan at the time. We were expanding our business through a network of field sales representatives, our industry we were finding was very fragmented. There are several thousand dealers in this country that sell and install mobility-related equipment, but there aren't any national players or anybody that really operates on a national level with any sort of recognizable brand name. At least not at the dealer level. There are a few product
right.
manufacturers, I think, that deal both, throughout the country and internationally, but typically the manufacturers distribute their products through dealer networks. And so, we essentially started to grow that business and figured out that it really wasn't that difficult to expand our business into different markets, which is really something that, for the most part, nobody has really ever done, at least in terms of mobility, product dealership. So
right.
we were pursuing that growth strategy for some time and had kicked around occasionally the idea of franchising. None of us had really any experience in franchising, started to kind of look at it. And one of the things, I think probably one of the main reasons that attract us to franchising actually goes to one of the points that you were making in your previous segment around, you know, company-owned stores versus franchisee-owned stores.
Right.
We kind of like that whole X factor of ownership.
Sure.
A lot of what happens in our business happens at the local level, both in terms of sales and in terms of logistics and execution on the ground. And our whole model is built around customer service. And so we feel like there's no one that's going to take the whole concept of serving the customer as seriously as an owner. And that adds that additional, you know, I guess we call it the X factor of ownership, just that extra incentive, that skin in the game that causes people to act a little differently than they would if this was somebody else's company. And so we, around this time last year, started investigating franchising, and we ended up working with a company called iFranchise Group, which is somebody you guys are probably familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a great job. We had a very good experience with them. They helped us put together all of the pieces that we needed to be able to offer franchises, and we started offering franchises of our concept here recently in April.
That's great.
So you have a real niche. I mean, is there any other franchise that does this? You might be the only one for this.
Well, we're the only one that offers the line of products that we offer. There's one other established franchisor that has something similar. It's a company called AmRamp, and they're out of, I think, Boston area. But they have, I think, 40 or some number like that of franchises that are operating in different markets throughout the country. And they sell and install wheelchair ramp systems primarily.
Right.
But that's really their entire business. I think they have a few other products that they offer, but for the most part, they're a ramping company. We sell and install wheelchair ramps, but that's only a part of our business. It's probably one of the bigger segments, but we also have more of a full line of mobility products, including the stair lifts and auto lifts, patient lifts, and other devices.
So just a big advantage for a potential owner or franchisee to buy 101 Mobility because of the discount, the store layout, I mean, the training, I mean, just everything. I mean, how is that described to a new franchisee as you're starting to add new owners, Dave?
Sure. Well, I think the points that you made are probably the key ones. What we've done in a relatively short period of time has been able to build some expertise and start to build some relationships with either state-level or national-level potential accounts that franchisees can leverage to help grow their business. There are some government entities and others that are purchasers of the products that we sell. And so as part of our network, we have laid some of the groundwork already in many areas. For example, one of our bigger customers is the VA hospital network.
Yeah.
And we don't work with every VA in the country, but we work with a lot of them. And that's a relationship that we've, you know, been working on for some time, and actually initially we really based our business around dealing with the VA hospitals as kind of our primary customer. And once we got that established, it really started to expand to other potential markets, including retail and other commercial purchasers.
Right.
But that's an example. I think another example would be we're actively getting ourselves set up as providers with state-level organizations, for example, like Department of Developmental Disabilities in a number of different states, and Workmen's Compensation Bureaus and other entities that either purchase the products that we sell or they will refer customers to us to purchase those products. Other reasons, I think, behind it are we've developed a proprietary business management system that allows a franchisee to really easily manage their business from all aspects in terms of customer management, quoting, cost analysis, reporting, and so forth. And that's a tool that is, customized to our business that's an advantage to the franchisee. And I'd say probably a third key element is that we've established relationships with the major manufacturers out there. And because of the fact that we're larger than, I think, their typical dealer, we've been able to negotiate pricing terms that our franchisee can leverage, based on our volume, that somebody who just said, well, I'm just going to get into this business on my own, really wouldn't be able to access, maybe eventually as they built their business, but not right out of the gate.
Right.
Most of the manufacturers that we work with have multiple levels of dealer pricing depending on volume. And, of course, when you're brand new, you start at the bottom. So this gives you an opportunity to really start with the best possible pricing right out of the gate.
That's great. How about technology? I guess technology has played a pretty big role in this business, Dave.
Yeah, well, I think it's a technology-driven industry for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, the products themselves as a start, I mean, it's technology that's behind all of the devices that we sell and install.
Right.
You know, we have some pretty nifty products, really, the, you know, some turning automotive seating and so forth, where somebody can use a seat that's mounted in the car that actually turns out and lowers to the ground for easy transfer to
wow.
a wheelchair, things like that. So there's a lot of engineering that goes into, you know, the products that we sell, and we tend to try to deal with or really represent the manufacturers who have the most experience and have been around for a while. Bruno Independent Living Products is a company that is probably one of our main vendors, and they've been in business for over 25 years, and the products are, you know, made in the USA in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. And so, you know, there's a lot, certainly a lot of technology that goes into those products. And I think from our perspective on our side, there's really another two areas where technology plays a big role. First one being our business management system that I mentioned to you a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit surprising to us how we were able to really put that together. You know, we looked at a number of off-the-shelf solutions for business management systems, and you know, these types of systems can run anywhere from, you know, thousands of dollars for a relatively simple system to millions of dollars for, you know, enterprise-based SAS type of systems. And we were able to contract with the local database developer that we found through a referral that actually built us essentially our system from scratch. And the nice thing about having gone down that path is that it's completely customizable to do whatever we want it to do. So
right.
as we've been running that system for probably 9 or 10 months now in our own business, we've been able to adjust it and add things and reorganize and set it up in such a way that it really maximizes our efficiency as a company. I think the other area where technology plays a role is today, people who are trying to learn more about the products that we sell, the default place to go is the internet. And so
right.
We've paid a lot of attention to that and made sure that on the retail side of our business, we have a robust website with a lot of information, product videos, testimonials, and all kinds of other good bits of data for people to look at and learn about the products that we offer, because there are some, you know, technical things and you know, different features and benefits that are important for customers to know about.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. This industry must be fairly big, Dave. Are there any numbers, are there any hard numbers as far as how big your industry is?
Yeah, the home healthcare industry is estimated at, I think, $4.3 billion
mm-hmm.
Total volume. And I think that, you know, all of the industry data points to, you know, specific growth. There's a I think a market research firm, MedTech or something like that, that puts out some of that data, and they're estimating, you know, 4% annual growth compounded
wow.
over the next several decades.
Right.
And I think the other thing that's, you know, kind of happening that's important is the growth of our target demographic. I think this is something most people are, you know, at least casually aware of, is that the population of people over the age of 65.
Right.
is expected to more than double over the next, you know, couple of decades. Actually, I have some data here. It says in the year 2010, the number of people age 65 and over is expected to total more than 40 million. By the year 2050, that's supposed to be 86 million. So
yeah, that number's overwhelming. I think we've even referenced that number on the show before, Dave. I mean, it is
right.
incredible. You know, when you look at the the whole senior care,
right.
it was amazing when Don and I both got into franchising, I guess, back in like 1999. I mean, senior care was kind of like this new industry or new type of franchise, and it's incredible how many there are today, and
right.
they still, it seems like they can't keep up with the demand, you know, because
right, they're all doing
numbers.
Well, yeah.
that
well,
you just
and,
referenced?
Well, you know, there's other than just the growth of that population, the other thing that's really happening, a cultural shift that's going on is there's even really a name for it called aging in place movement, and that is where, you know, people that are in their 70s and 80s are sort of declining to move into a nursing home as sort of the last phase of their life. You know, they're wanting
right.
to stay home, and I think that is causing the growth in that senior care industry and is causing
right.
growth in our industry, and actually the,
right.
the point that you made about the growth of that senior care business as it relates to franchising is one of the reasons we looked at when we decided to franchise our concept, because we're like, geez, you know, there's 25 or 30 of these companies franchising in senior care out there. There's
right.
exactly zero doing what we do. Why is that? You know, it's the same
yeah.
it's the same customer with the same need. So it just seemed like, you know, it made a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense. It was funny because, you know, Don and I sometimes joke around and say, you know, does the world really need another senior care franchise? Mm-hmm. I think we've had, you know, in the 4 years of doing this show, you know, I guess about four or five of them, you know, and they're all interesting, you know, but every so often you'll see like a new one pop up in the franchise and you wonder why there's so
right.
many. And that's why I was, you know, we're so excited to have you guys on the show today, because we said, you know what, you guys get it, you know what I mean?
Sure.
You're going after the market, but something a little different, you know what I mean, which it just makes so much sense. So it was good to see that, you know, you guys
yeah.
were doing this. You know?
Well, and senior care will continue to grow. I mean, if you just think in terms
right.
of,
oh, absolutely.
You know, there's this growth in the just the raw numbers alone, and the availability of capacity in the nursing
mm-hmm.
homes. In order
right.
to accommodate all these people, they'd have to double the number of nursing homes out there. That's probably
exactly.
not going to happen. So
yeah, it's not going to happen.
So senior
yeah.
care is really, you know, positioned to benefit from that, as
right.
are mobility products companies.
Right. Yeah, no, I think it's fantastic. Dave, we have to take a quick break. Can you stick around for another segment?
Yeah, sure.
That'll be fantastic. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919. Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open? Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who wants one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show this morning. We're meeting with Dave Fezgon, CEO of 101 Mobility. At 101 Mobility, headquartered in Wilmington, North Carolina, is the nation's first full-service sales, service, and installation provider of a complete line of affordable, high-quality mobility and accessibility products. And Don, I think you're up.
Yeah, Dave, who are the type of franchisees you're going to be looking for? Maybe some of the characteristics that they have. You're looking for people with retail experience or sales? Who's really a target type of franchisee that you'll have moving forward?
I think the main thing that we look for, probably the key element, is field sales experience. We kind of have a saying in our business that really nothing will happen unless you make it happen. It's not like a lot of franchise concepts where, really the key element is good location or things like that. This is one where location is really secondary. Our store requirements are minimal, and really our business is not built around a lot of walk-in traffic. This is the type of business where the franchisee will be spending large portions of their time, especially initially, out building relationships, calling on referral opportunities, calling on direct purchase opportunities like the VA and workmen's compensation bureaus and other places. And so it really takes somebody who has, first of all, some experience with that and also a comfort level, with that. A lot of people say in field sales the hardest door to open is the door to your car. You know, getting up in the morning and having the initiative to go out and make those calls every day to really build your business. And we expect that, the first 6 months of a new franchisee's experience with our program will be a lot of, feet to the ground, out meeting people and building relationships. So I'd say that's a really a key element. I think the second thing is that we're looking for people, kind of business-minded type of people who are interested in really growing a business long-term, through expansion of, a single unit. I know in some concepts, the more common approach to expansion is opening more units in your area. So if you're, a haircutting or a sandwich franchise, your growth plan is, you open your first one, you get your feet wet there, and then over the next 10 years, you open 10 more. And our concept doesn't really work that way. Territory sizes are larger. Up to 1 million in population for, kind of a basic territory. And the expansion is really going out and continuing to build your business in that area and potentially maybe expanding your geographic footprint over time. But it wouldn't be through, addition of new stores. It would just be through growth of your relationships.
Right. Yeah, I would imagine that's more important to a franchisee having that large territory. Because as far as shipping product, it's not like you have to have multiple locations. So I can understand your, your strategy for that. And how's training? I guess maybe tell us about what a franchisee would go through the training process.
Sure. Well, there's basically three elements to our training program. The first element is a week of business training that covers really all aspects of the business, learning about the sales, learning about how to operate our system. Some product knowledge, feature benefit information, et cetera, accounting, and helping them set up their business initially. And then the second component is an installation training component. This is where the franchisee would come in, and they would also bring in their primary installer, whether that be somebody that they're going to hire as an employee or a business partner, or if it's in some cases somebody that they're working with on a contract basis. There's a variety of ways that can be accomplished. Yeah. But that person would then come in, and we require that the franchisee, even if they don't plan to do their own installations, goes through that program, because we think it's important for them to know how it's done, even if they're not necessarily planning to be the ones out there doing it in the field. So that's a week long of training, and our service manager who provides that training is able to issue factory certification for those manufacturers that require it on their behalf. He's been through their train the trainer program and so forth. So what you come out with after that process is an installer who's been certified, has been through the training program, and is authorized to install these products in the field. And then the third component would be field training, and that we're kind of flexible in terms of how we actually implement that. I think you know, part of what we want to do is participate in any key customer meetings. So, for example, a franchisee has arranged their first meeting with the VA or their first meeting with the Workman's Compensation Bureau or other, you know, kind of large purchasing entity that could be a long-term good customer for them. We feel like it's important that we're there with them to kind of help answer questions and so forth, make sure that meeting goes well. So that's part of the field training. And then also, you know, other days of field training, which can include some field installation support and other things. So that's really how that works. And then once they get through that process, there's an ongoing support of, you know, from our office, both in terms of, you know, just by phone and also through, you know, coming out in the field and helping out as needed.
Right.
That's goodness. What's a typical day like? How would you describe day for like a one-on-one mobility franchisee?
I guess
like from the morning till like the end of the day and a typical week?
Right. Well, there's a couple of things I think that they'll be spending large portions of their time doing. One of them is, I mentioned earlier, is out in the field prospecting, building relationships. The second thing is, once they've built those relationships or started to get some business rolling, either that or they're getting leads that may come in through our website that we pass along to them from their territory, they'll be going out and meeting with actual customers who have a need. And typically that involves what we call an evaluation where the franchisee would go out, meet with the customer, look at the situation. If you take a stair lift as an example, they're, you know, taking some measurements, pictures, and so forth of the stair so that they can provide that customer with a quote to actually install the stair lift. So those will take up, you know, a certain portion of time. And then the third element would be managing logistical issues around installations, making sure that their installer is properly scheduled, making sure that the customer has knowledge of, you know, when their installer is coming and what to expect and how long it's going to take and all of those types of things, handling the logistics of product delivery. In some cases, product may be delivered to their you know, little store location. In other cases, it may be delivered directly to the customer's house where it's going to be installed. Depending on the product and so forth and the complexity, there's a variety of different ways that can happen. So as they start to build their business, and I think this is probably true with really any business owner, they start to get real busy, you know, between doing sales calls, trying to continue prospecting for new business, and handling the logistical aspects of executing on the business they've already sold, getting that properly installed and so forth, you know, will be obviously a full-time job. And then I would say the beyond that and the evenings and so forth is the time when you're in your, you know, business management system, looking over reports and analyzing your business and, you know, making sure your margins are where they need to be and handling accounting issues and things like that. So I would say that's, you know, a pretty typical day.
That's good. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee, Dave? Is there any, like, websites they can go to or any numbers?
Yeah, our website is 101mobilityfranchise.com. And there's, you know, buttons all over where they can request information. There's still some of that information now then. No, I'll be the one calling, so I'll give them a call and talk to them about the program.
That's fantastic. Great. And I want to thank you again, Dave. I think you guys have a fantastic franchise opportunity. And Don and I would like to have you guys come back next year as you continue to grow.
Sure. Sounds great. I appreciate your time, guys.
No problem.
Thanks.
Good luck with your growth, Dave.
Today.
Good job.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Great concept, huh, Don?
Yeah. It's, like I mentioned earlier, a real niche product line. And it's just pretty exciting, the... his, you know, demographics, the statistics for the amount of people going to need more of his product line in the years to come. I guess that's a comforting feeling, knowing there's pretty good room for growth and adding franchisees around the country.
Yeah, I was waiting for something like this to happen, you know, like a service like this, you know. Again, just seeing all these senior care franchises pop up, you know, which again, is a good thing. Again, this is something different, you know, and the market potential, I think, is just enormous. So
yeah.
We should keep our eye on these guys, you know, and then, you know, have them back next year and check out their numbers, you know. So
just another good job on franchise category we've added, you know.
Yeah, it's true. It's another one for you know, it's funny, just when you think we've done it all, you know, and had all the categories, we haven't, you know. So it's
right.
Another one for our library that someone can go through, you know, and check it out. So it's fantastic. We did a great job in segment one today, Don. And for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, gofranchise.com. And I'll see you again next week, Don, for another great show.
Have a great day. Take care.
You too. Take care, everyone. Thanks for listening.